for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday evening, September the 4th, 1982. Labor Day weekend, teaching and deliverance seminar being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs, Arkansas. Chuck Flynn is the teacher of the evening.
To the Lord and the Shekinah glory of the Holy Ghost, I praise you for it. I thank you for it. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Now, I wonder how many here have never been baptized or for some reason or other would like to be baptized again at the end of the service tomorrow afternoon before we eat. Now, that may be hard to figure out to make come about right. But anyway, we'll go down to the lake just before we eat supper and have a baptismal service down at the boat dock or down at the boat ramp down here on the lake. We generally have 8 or 10 or so every time we have a baptismal service, and we have it from Easter to Thanksgiving. We've never had one at Christmas, but we've had them every other service. Yes, Doc?
I was raised in a church that baptized me as an infant, and I thought that was sufficient. If any of you have not had water baptism by immersion as an adult, I would urge you to do so. It's an act of obedience, but it is an act that's required by Jesus himself, for he said in Mark 16:16, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. Your spiritual life will open like it's never opened before when you follow the obedience of water baptism. And if you have not been baptized by immersion, I implore you to be baptized as an act of obedience to Jesus so that his word can flow through you.
Amen. Amen. The next camp meeting, which if you get our little paper, if you don't, anybody here doesn't get our little paper? Yes, got some slips there, Kevin, and we'll send you, put you on the mailing list. If you want to be off of it, we'll take you off of it. If you want to add somebody to it, we'll add them to it. Please don't take it if you don't want it. It costs money. There's something else I need to say, but... Oh, the books. I'll make a little plug for some of the books. I'm interested in the books that people need to know about, that I think they need to know about. Others may think different. But I think that we need to have more of an understanding of our nation. Where it came from, how come it's here, what its destiny is, and who we are. And we've been ignorant and been uninformed. Some of us older people have had some of it in our school. But now then, it's all taken out of your history books, and you don't have any understanding of the 13 colonies and those who fought and died for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's all been removed from your books. And there's a book back there that every home should have, and they should read it to their children, and that's the book called The Light and the Glory by Peter Marshall, Jr. And it gives a history of America and its purpose and its destiny. And then there's another book that'll help you to understand who we are called Judas Scepter and Joseph's Birthright. And those two books will give you a basic understanding of America and who Americans are and what God's plans for this nation are. Because God's plans for this nation are no ways near finished. God's got great plans for you and me. We need to come into that understanding and realize that. And you need to study and come to an understanding and not just think that God's going to be all through with us one day and we're going to fly away and somebody else is going to conquer. No, we're going to conquer and conquer in the name of Jesus. Amen. And I intend to put him underfoot with the help of all the rest of you. And we're doing it a little bit here, just a little bit. We're learning. We're beginning to understand. We're preparing the soldiers. And then God will take the soldiers and make captains and generals out of them. as he sees fit. But he's just preparing us, just beginning, to open a new phase of the ministry of the word of the Lord to bring deliverance to his people and set the captives free, that we may go forth to conquer and to conquer in the name of the Lord Jesus, to bind up the powers of Satan and to loose the mighty power of the living God that is necessary to be loosed to bring about that which he has planned for this earth and then the universe. Beyond our imagination, if you really think about it. Well, I'm going to ask Irma to come up here. It's getting a little late. But there's been the blessing of the Lord. It's never late for the blessing of the Lord. When the blessing of the Lord flows, if it's 2 o'clock in the morning, it's not late. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But there's been some that have asked me, of course, they always ask us how we got here. Well, I'm not going to talk about that tonight. Probably won't this whole camp meeting. God brought us here, and that's how we got here. But back several years ago, when we first started to come into the understanding of deliverance, some things happened, and a minister named Brother Duncan was instrumental, along with Derek Prince, in bringing us into the understanding and the revelation of deliverance. And something happened in our lives that different ones have asked about, and I'm going to ask Irma to relate a little bit of it this evening, and then we'll turn the service to Brother Chuck Flynn. Oh, we'll take an offering in between. We'll receive one. And we ask that the Lord will be speaking to your hearts in the meantime, that you'll be obedient to do that which the Lord lays on your heart, which will be sufficient for our needs here and for an honorarium for our speakers, that we can take care of them as they should be, and we bless you for it.
Well, we certainly didn't think this place up. The Lord did. I don't know if any of you have ever been married to a man. Let's see, we've been married. Is it 41 or 42 years? Something like that. No, we get to celebrate. I get a prize or something when we've been married 50 years. don't you think I deserve it? The Purple Heart. Well, anyway, in 1965 and 66, we began to hear about deliverance, and I believed it from the very beginning. And it took me a little while to get Glenn converted to it, because his Bible school training had taught him that no evil spirit, no demon could cross the bloodline. But I am a preacher's daughter, and preacher's kids don't have too good a reputation. And we're always harassed, and as Bob Mumford used to say, we don't have any wings anymore. The backbiters ate them up. But anyway, there's usually one deacon in every church board that needs deliverance. But in those early days of Pentecost, 1932 and so on, I can look back now and I can see where there was a lot of deliverances went on. That's why they called us Holy Rollers. But we didn't know about it. But in 1965, 66, somewhere along there, we began to hear about deliverance. And I really wanted it. And my own father said, "Oh, honey, you've always been a good girl." But I could see so many things wrong in my life, and I couldn't understand many things in our life that it happened. And I used to say to Glenn, "You know, the neighbors that are sinners, they get along better than all of us, the Christians." And that wasn't a very good testimony. But we went to Sweden, and I begged and begged Glenn to see if Derek Prince wouldn't pray for us in our room. So he finally asked Derek if he would come down and pray for us. And I had made out a list. Now, in those days, lists were not even known. The Lord had showed me a list of evil spirits, and I called them families. And years later, when the Hammonds wrote their book, it coincided with the list that I had made up. So we get in the room, and they came down to the room, and Glenn says, "Irma thinks she's got devils in her." Well, Derek, he didn't mind hearing that. He probably knew I had plenty of them. You know, if you have much discerning of spirits, and he did, why, right away, you know, you can usually pick out those evil spirits that are manifesting in people. So he knew what I had. So Glenn says, "She even has a list." So Derek, in his stern way, looks down at me and says, "Where's the list?" And I was so scared, I didn't even get it out. I wouldn't open my purse and get it out. I was just frozen. So finally they said, "Oh, let's give up on her. She don't really want to be delivered." And I really did, but I didn't. I was so frightened that I just couldn't bring out that list. And I came home from Sweden not delivered. And I would walk up and down. If Glenn would ever go downtown, at that time we had sold a business and we were doing freelance consulting work, and we didn't work all the time. We just worked and made money and traveled around and went to full gospel conventions. And if Glenn would ever go downtown, I'd always be glad. And I used to walk up and down our center hall. I could lock it all off, the bedrooms all on this side, and lock up all the doors. And I'd walk up and down that hall. It was a long hall with a red carpet in it. And I would pray, and I'd scream out and cry out, "Lord, deliver me from all evil. Deliver me, Lord, from all evil." And I didn't know how to get delivered, and we didn't have any teaching on how to deliver yourself. So finally, our neighbors heard about a man that was going to come to Pasadena for deliverance. And I was so proud and prissy in those days that when we got to the church, I could hardly stand to go in. I called it a rat hole church, and it was that old Filipino church over, Brother Flynn probably knows where it is. And I mean, it was terrible, but we walked in there, and there was just a handful of people there, and they were delivering people. But the fears in me would not let me really go up to be prayed for. But I remember this one minister, he told me later that he said to the Lord, "Lord, if I ever get a chance to minister to that woman, please let me minister to her in love." And so I didn't know he prayed that, but the Lord heard his prayer. And the following spring, he came to Los Angeles, to the Embassy Auditorium. He came for a week and stayed 7 weeks. And I tell you, what a meeting that was. Every night and every night, deliverances till midnight, singing and dancing in the Spirit, prophesying, loosing the gifts of the Spirit upon God's people. And I thought it was all wonderful sometimes. And then sometimes I'd get so angry and revved up and worked up that I wouldn't even go. You know, you can always think up of a reason not to go to church. You know, the devil gives you those thoughts. And I wouldn't even go to church. Well, finally the meeting got over, and I was thinking, "Lord, I didn't get delivered again." But I just didn't know quite how. I was so frozen with fear, I didn't know exactly how to go about it. And the next morning, this minister called, and he said the Lord had showed him that there were 5 couples that had come to the meetings that he was supposed to minister to them in their homes. And he said, "You are one of them. Could I come?" And I said, "Oh, by all means." And so he told us when he'd be there, and I was waiting. And we had this big 4-bedroom, 4-bath house with red carpet and white wool carpet and everything beautiful and nice, and I didn't want it all messed up. I had seen a lot of vomiting and everything in his meetings. So I get out my big beach towel, and I laid it down on the upper level. We had a sunken living room, and I laid it up on the top level, and I put out the clothes basket, put a half a basket of paper towels in it, and got ready to heave that basket full. And I knew I had plenty to heave up and cast out. But nothing like that happened. He was standing on the lower level. I was standing on the upper level. And we were about, he's a tall man, but I was about eye to eye with him. And he began to pray for me and break curses. And there were shackles around me. I was like this, but I didn't know that's always the way I was, I guess. Just pent up, and I felt bands drop off of me. And he come against about 25 things as fast as he could go. Maybe we'll have him here someday. And all of a sudden there was a great big whiff just come right up out of me and just left. And when it did, it loosed me. Would you believe I was spirit-filled in the early 30s. But when we got married, some way in Glenn's church that he had gone to, they taught you spoken tongues once when you received the Holy Spirit, and then you didn't do it anymore. Well, it was a way of life. My dad, he spoke in divers tongues. It was just a way of life where we could pray in tongues at the meal or any place we wanted to. But after we got married, when Glenn didn't pray in tongues, well, then I didn't pray in tongues. Then pretty soon I couldn't pray in tongues. I was so bound. It's very important to pray in the Spirit all the time. See, we didn't have any teaching either like that. And maybe we did, maybe we didn't hear it. I don't know, but I didn't hear it. But I would know that I should be speaking in tongues, but I couldn't. I was just bound and bound and bound up. And when he loosed me, there was an explosion come up out of me, the Holy Ghost, from way deep. Exploded up out of me, and I began to speak in tongues, interpret, prophesy, and I was waving my arms like this, and I just brushed across his head, and he went out like a light on the floor. And I thought the demons had killed him. I went, oh. You know, it's funny now, but it wasn't funny then, because in those early days, we were learning, and I feel sorry for people. The Moonies were telling me they were up in a restaurant here in town as they came into town, and they prayed over their food. So two ladies got up and came over and said, "You're Christians." And they said, "Yes." And they said, "Where do you go to church?" And they said, "Well, we're going out to Camp Lake Hamilton." And they said, "Oh, my. Oh, my. Said, "We went there once. And they were coughing up demons. They were coughing up demons. Oh, my." Well, praise God. It's good for undertakers, too, isn't it? The Moonies used to own undertaking parlors. Praise God. Well, from then on, it's been a life of deliverance for us. And I praise God for every deliverance I've ever had. I want more and more and more. Because the more you get, the better you feel. I used to be always sick. In and out of hospitals constantly, and the Lord has healed my body. And at Glenn and my age, we should be retiring and stopping working. We retired once when we were 50, I guess, and I always thought, we've always worked hard. We've always had jobs. My mother said, every job we've ever had is a three-ring circus with all the elephants loose and all the lions loose. We owned bakeries for years. We owned a big technical typing shop and typed for the government. We worked night and day on major projects, every major project, I guess, that the government was doing. And we learned to discipline our bodies. You know, you can be namby-pamby and lazy, but you can also force your body to obey. It's the Holy Spirit first. You know, we always say body, soul, and spirit. It's the other way around. Spirit, soul, and body. The Holy Spirit tells your soul, your emotions, what to do, and the body is the slave. I think Lester Summerall taught that years ago. But anyway, the Lord, in 1967, then gave Glenn a vision of this place. Now, I wasn't totally delivered, and I'm still not, but I tell you, there was some kicking, screaming, and fighting, because I didn't want to give up that beautiful home. I didn't want to give up all the money we had in the bank to buy this place. And we looked, after he had the vision, it took 7 years for us to get here. We don't walk around on visions, I'll tell you. Visions are fine, but they need to be checked out and double-checked. And the Lord sent us here. There's no question about it. This is the exact place the Lord showed Glenn in 1967. And due to many circumstances, the Lord brought us here. We know what it is to give up houses and lands. We know what it is to give up family, mother and father and children, for his name's sake. We know what it is to be persecuted. But what does he say he'll give you in return? I didn't know about that scripture till after I got here, and a long time after I got here. He says, if you give up all of those, he will return unto you 100-fold. I'm interested not in money, but in the 100-fold of the Spirit. 100-fold of the Holy Ghost. And that's my interest. But it does take money for a play. We put every dime we had into this. Every dime. We were used to living big, and we came down to very small living. And that ain't easy. But for the gospel's sake, you can do it. You can do it. And we have done it. And I'm glad. I'm truly glad. Because tonight, today, today has been a wonderful, victorious day for dozens and dozens of people. They'll never be the same. And it's worth it all. It's worth it all. I don't know if you've ever lived on $2,000 a week and come down to $25 a week, but it can be done. Here we are. We're just as fat or fatter than when we came. We've got just as many clothes, cars. Our clothes don't wear out. We wear them year in and year out, and praise God. Some lady come today and gave me something. Every once in a while, somebody sends in a box of clothes, and Patty and I go through it. We're not too proud to wear these beautiful clothes that people can't wear. They send them in, and we go through them, and once in a while we find something that fits us perfectly, and praise God. Praise God. You know, there's a tremendous spirit of waste in the United States of America. I used to have a spirit of waste. Praise God, I got delivered from that. But tonight we're going to let you give as unto the Lord. And God has taken care of this camp, as Glenn said today. Every once in a while I get very edgy. You know, you see $10,000 and $12,000 worth of bills in your hand, and these men keep buying more pipes and more iron, and they keep tearing up the lawnmowers, and I keep saying, oh, Lord, stop all of this, because they come and throw the bills on my desk, and then Patty and I have to sweat them out and get them paid. But, you know, there's always enough money at the end of every month. There's always enough. Just enough. Just enough. And, you know, my poor father, he wanted this so bad to be in a nice Assembly of God church with a big steeple on the top. And we hadn't lived here too long. First deliverance service we had, the next morning, knock on the door. We'll have no more of this kind of stuff around here. They moved here for a while. They lived here. I know what it is to give up mother and father. I never gave them up in the part that I never honored them. I honored them right up to their death. They both are dead now. But I praise God. You know, after my mother passed away, he came one day and he bought me this Lincoln out here. And I praise God for that. We needed a new car. Yes, we need another one. And now I remember 2 years ago when my father died, it hit me all of a sudden. I don't have a father anymore to go to. We could always go to our folks and borrow money if we needed it, you know, $1,000, $500, whatever. And it hit me as I came out of the funeral home and got in the car. You don't have a father anymore. But I have a heavenly father. And he owns it all. He owns it all. And I praise God for my heavenly father. And I praise God how he's taken care of us. He has multiplied and multiplied unto us abundantly. I don't know, would you like to bring your offering joyfully and lay it on the Bible?
Isaiah 53. He was wounded for our transgressions. Hallelujah. Peace was upon him, and with his stripes I have healed.
Amen. Praise God. I think Glenn and I have 60. Well, he's a lot older than me, but I think we are in better health now than we were at 30. I really do. I really do. Oh, you're a lot older than me. I don't even want to tell your age. It's too old. It's terrible to be married to an old man, really. Let's have some music. Some joyful music. To give joyful unto the Lord. And you bring up your offering to the Lord. You know, bring it into the storehouse, the Bible says. Where are you getting fed? Have you been fed here today? Make them out to Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. We are a nonprofit corporation. That's a long story of how we got a nonprofit corporation so quickly. God has ordained this place, and he takes care of us. In spite of us, he takes care of us. Hallelujah. And as we sing and as we march up here, let's come joyfully, and I want to give you all a hug as you come up. You know, I didn't used to like to be hugged. I could just really, you know, don't touch me. But the Lord's delivering me of that too. And I, if there's ever anything I used to hate was crying women. I used to supervise a lot of women, and they could always be bawling around instead of working. But praise God for all those tears that were shed this morning. I was even crying myself, and I praise God for the tears. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I guess Glenn wants this microphone, wouldn't you think? He's gradually shoving me out. Bless you.
Father, I come this evening as the priest here of this place, and I bring this offering which you have given into my hands from your people tonight, and I bring it and present it unto Jesus, my high priest, and ask him to give it and lay it on the altar before thee as a sweet savor unto thee from your people. And I thank you for receiving it and accepting it from your people. And Father, as it comes into my hands and I become the steward of it, responsible for it. Father, give us wisdom and give me understanding and give me discernment, Lord, in the disbursement of it. Help me to be wise in all that we do here and all that we use finances for. Help me to be wise and to be thrifty and to do that, Lord, which we can accomplish to the most out of the least. And Lord, we know that you can multiply. And I know that, Lord, because you've done it many and many a time. But Lord, you also expect us not to be foolish in that which you supply us with. And help us to have wisdom, Lord, and I thank you for it. Now, Father, I bind this finances that's come into my hands tonight. I bind it to the kingdom of the living God for the furtherance of the gospel until the day when finances are no longer needed. For the furtherance of the gospel and then just the necessities of life to whosoever hands it goes through. And I bind it that it cannot be used for foolishness or wasted or for frivolous things of life. But I bind it to the kingdom of the living God for the glory of God. And I thank you for that privilege. And bless these your people, Lord. Let your anointing rest upon them. Let the glory of the Lord be their portion. Bless them, Lord, as they come in and as they go out. Bless their families, Lord. Bless their loved ones. Bless their finances, Lord. Give them understanding and wisdom and supply their every need. And I thank you for it, Lord, both physically, financially, and for thy glory. And I praise you for it in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, I pray your anointing and the glory of the Lord to rest over Chuck this evening. Lord, I know it's late. And Father, we ask that your anointing rest upon him. Lord, help us not to be weary in serving thee. Help us not to be tired in praising thee. But help us, Lord, even as Paul of old, where they set till after midnight into the way morning hours to hear the word of the Lord. Help us to be happy to hear the word of the Lord. Help us not to be grudge or to be complain, but to help us to rejoice in thee as the word of the Lord comes forth, and help us to hide it in our hearts that we sin not against thee, that we be able to stand forth against the wiles of the enemy to proclaim that Jesus is Lord of lords and King of kings. I pray and I thank you for the anointing of the Holy Ghost that rest here and rest upon Chuck tonight as he ministers the word of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen.
Praise. Hallelujah. Glenn and Irma are sort of a spiritual Laurel and Hardy. I didn't want to break that good prayer. I'd ask Glenn, has he dreamed any dreams lately? The old men shall dream dreams. I'm not saying they're seedy folks, but they sure are down close to the earth. Loved them for years. Appreciate the ministry wherever it's at. Recognize the anointing. Oh, the Holy Ghost has got a sense of humor. The Lord Jesus does, or he wouldn't have made us. I can just tell that sometimes, you know, like tonight, the Lord leans over and says, hey, Gabriel, come here, watch this one. Look what Irma's going to do now. Well, I thought of a text I thought I'd read tonight, Hebrews 8, verse 1. Now, of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 1-3. We have such an high priest. I want you to put down crescendo anointings of the Bible. Tonight I want to deal with the crescendo of the womb covenant. The womb covenant. In other words, we have such a high priest. We've dealt with the ministry, the eighth feast, the feast of ministry. We've dealt with the cloven mind. Jesus, the high priest, said, the Spirit of God shall take of what is mine and shall show it unto you. We have the cloven hoof, the cloven tongue, and the cloven mind. All of them are different aspects of receiving and flowing into the revelation of the Word. Hallelujah. Loosening the fire of the Holy Spirit, stirring up the gift of God that gives us the tongue of the learned. Then we have the sword of the high priest, the sword of the Spirit, which was the sword of Mary, opening up the secrets of men's hearts. The atonement of the cross took away the sword off of the house of David, but gave the body of Christ a new sword, the rhema of the Word and the gifts of the Spirit, so that men's hearts could be cut open. The covenants of God are to cut open secrets of men's hearts so that they'll say, surely God's in the place. That's why the gifts of the Holy Spirit are to be of edification power, to edify, to build up, to admonish. It's wonderful to hear a prophetic edification, a prophetic confirmation. Now and then somebody will ask me, say, why don't you ever prophesy negative? Why don't you ever try to straighten me out? You know, they said, you know, I'll be honest with you. I've done something. I just wonder why you don't ever really discern something that's shady in my life. And a lot of pastors I know just wait for me to really clobber somebody that doesn't tithe. Glory to God. One of those deacons Irma was talking about, you know, somebody that's really giving you a hard time. And bless God, I hope he just rubs them raw. Like Irma, some of us have got lists, but we got lists of other people. And when Jesus comes down through us with a rod of iron, we've got that list all made out of those that we want him to clobber. That men serving him. The authority, though, of the gifts. And my remark is, well, I tell you what, I really haven't been called to do the devil's business. He's the accuser of the brethren. Now, by prophesying edification, that doesn't smooth over anything. The person needs to get right to himself. Edification brings forth building up, which means maturity, so the person will be able and strong enough to come to the Lord and straighten out things that need to be straightened out. That's between them and the Lord. So this is why the Lord is moving upon all of us to loose the gifts, to loose the authority of his presence. We have such a high priest. He sat on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. For every high priest is ordained. The word ordained means restricted. He was ordained to judge the quick and the dead. It means like a horse has blinders. You're limited to a certain fulfillment of the will of God in your life. You have come to a place of complete fulfillment. You're ordained means you're just restricted to that position in God. That's why Abigail, in 1 Samuel 25, Abigail prophesied to David, for the Lord thy God has bound you up in the bundle of life. A woman prophesying, praise God. But Abigail prophesied and said, David, the Lord has bound you up in the bundle of life. That means, in the Hebrew, you are wrapped up, you're locked up in God's purse where all of his treasure is. Hallelujah. It's exactly what it means. It's like we would take a hungry person and put them down here in Piggly Wiggly or Safeway or Kroger's, lock them up in there. And everything they need is there. That's why God says, I've ordained you. Everything you need is in me, but others may, but you cannot. Isn't that right? Others may, but you cannot. Why? Because you're limited to my purpose. Praise God. You're restricted to the authority of my power and my glory. You're free to do anything you want. It's just that your wants have been changed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He was ordained. Ordained, hallelujah, to offer gifts and sacrifices. Wherefore it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. Underline, this man have somewhat also to offer. Who's got an amplified? Read that verse for me. Third verse. Second, third verse, please. Stand up, brother. Read it loud. Thank you.
For every high priest is appointed to offer up gifts and sacrifices, so it is essential for this high priest to have some offering to make also.
Amen. It is essential, then, that this high priest, Jesus, has also that opportunity to offer gifts and sacrifices. He gave gifts unto men. He led captivity captive. and the supreme sacrifice of his own life. This is the summary. So we take this ability or the essential ministry of the Lord. It's essential now that he offer gifts, that he offer unto us of the sanctuary. Strengths, abilities, the armor of God, that we would be equipped, fortified, fully equipped with the weapons of our warfare and with the blessings and the gifts of the Lord. So then this is sort of a culmination, a crescendo, if you please, of God's original intent through the ministry of Abraham. And in Hebrews 7, let's turn the page and go back to Hebrews 7. From Hebrews 5 to chapter 7, in dealing with the womb covenant, I must relate to Genesis 14 and in the first few verses of Genesis 15. The last portion of the 14th chapter and the first portion of the 15th chapter, along with chapter 5 through 7 of Hebrews. Why I do this is the Lord spoke to me many years ago in my young ministry. And I would preach, of course, Billy Graham's sermons, some of Oral Roberts' sermons, Spurgeon, handfuls on purpose, G. Campbell Morgan, E. Stanley Jones. I really love E. Stanley Jones' writings, especially The Christ of the Mount. That should be reprinted. Marvelous. But anyway, I begin to say, well, Lord, I'm preaching these other sermons, and it's all right, but sometimes they don't go as far as the first row. Father, let me know what your people desires and what you desire your people to have. So the Lord spoke to my heart, and he said, just allow the gifts of the Spirit to operate. And when you hear a prophecy and when you hear a testimony or an interpretation of tongues, table the key word or key phrase, and from service to service, you'll have the key word or key phrase, then take it, fortify it with Scripture, and you'll have exactly what I'm saying to my people. And that's why other pastors or ministers have asked me, why, how can you keep pretty much fresh with your schedule and yet knowing what God is saying to the people? I listen when there's prophecy and I try to take the key phrase, knowing exactly what the Spirit is speaking, even though it's very simple. But yet when you put it in to the shadow of Scripture that confirms it, it becomes powerful. Hallelujah. If you're called on the share at any place and you have a time for to attend services where the gifts are in operation, there's enough ammunition there to blow them out of all types of hostility and bindings. Amen. Listen to what the Spirit is saying and then fortify it with Scripture and you'll never be lacking in revelation. Hallelujah. It's wonderful how good the Lord is to us. We have such a high priest. Spirit of the Lord is preparing us. He's the one that's the giver of gifts. He's the one that is the fortifier. He's the one that equips us. This is his qualification. Hebrews chapter 5. I'm going to start with verse 4. And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest. That's a beautiful statement. Underline it. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest. But he that said unto him, thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. Put down Psalms 2, verse 7. I want to stop there at Psalms 2 and say Psalms 2 is one of the most tremendous hourglasses of the last days. It is astounding how beautiful Psalms 2 fulfilled in our day. First of all, the world speaks. The kings of this world speak in Psalms 2. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? I believe that a majority of this audience is called upon or will be called upon to minister in some capacity to someone else. One of the greatest shocks in the Bible is when Jesus was dealing and speaking and loosening the feast of ministry to Saul of Tarsus. This is not a criticism, but there's one thing that's not mentioned much in deliverance that Jesus mentioned to the one that he was preparing for the ministry. He says, I'm going to deliver you from the people. I'm going to set you free from the people. My goodness. Acts 26, verse 19 to 21, somewhere in there. Demas Shakarian told me, said he hates to see anybody get popular, because that's one thing in the great conventions of full gospel businessmen. Once somebody comes in with a tremendous anointing on their life and they get very popular, then, boy, tremendous attacks come their way. We've lost many a good soldier of the cross, but we didn't set them free from the people. Let's ask God and let's thank God for his word. Let's just praise the Lord that every one of us will be set free from whatever that means. Amen. God would teach us the deliverance from all types of the council of men, or even the people. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We appreciate the anointing of power and glory. We appreciate the power and the authority. Loose us tonight. Like you told Saul of Tarsus, bring him into the Apostle Paul's ministry. God, you said, I'm going to deliver you from the people. We thank you, Lord, for that power. May we understand the full spectrum of anointing in the capacity of ministry and leadership. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Seal us with thy joy. Amen. So he said, I've given you in Psalms 2, the world speaks, or the kings of this world speak, and then the Father speaks from heaven and says, I will laugh. And after the Father speaks in verse 6, then the Son speaks in verse 7. And he says, this is the decree. You have decreed that this day I have begotten thee. And then the Holy Ghost speaks in verse 12. So here you have the world speaking. You've got the Father speaking. I'm back to Psalms 2, please. And if you'll bring them out in their order, it is outstanding. The kings of this earth speaking, the Father speaks and laughs in heaven, and then the Son says, you've told me to ask and you'll give me the heathen for my inheritance. Verse 7 and 8, the Son is speaking. And then the Holy Ghost speaks and says, kiss the Son. Not with a kiss of betrayal. When Judas kissed Jesus, the Greek word is he covered him with kisses. He come to the face of Jesus and he smothered him with kisses. The Holy Ghost says, you better kiss him with a kiss of obedience. Hallelujah. Lest he be angry. In other words, let there be a sealing of admiration. How do we kiss the Son? The fruit of our lips, praising, sacrifice, lifting up the morning sacrifice, the noon sacrifice, the evening sacrifice, the fruit of our lips, hallelujah, praising him, adoring him. Because the kings of this world said, we're going to join ourselves together against the Lord and his Christ, and we're going to break their bands. The word bands means paternal authority. God the Father is over the earth, and the Father image is the priest of his home. Hallelujah. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and washes the church with the water of the word. Gentlemen, there is a way that God's raising up within us to wash our families with the word so that they can be clean and renewed for this hour. Hallelujah. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved and washed the church with the word. Let the word be a washing to her. Let there be an admonition, a caressing attitude, a great intent of joy. In other words, true love is you really live your life through the other one that you love. Hallelujah. He's the Savior of the body. Ephesians 5:25. The word Savior is not a large S. It doesn't mean He's the Savior of my soul. It means He is the sustainer of the body. That's why husbands sustain in comfort and love and make sure the way the Lord sustains the body of Christ, He does not allow the things that we're unable to bear to come upon us. He strengthens us. He communicates. He gives us that strength and that witness of His presence. Hallelujah. That all things work together for good. That anointing that He doesn't give us the things that we're unable to bear. So it is with the husband not to allow the things to come upon the wife that exhaust, to where all of her weapons are exhausted down to her last weapon, which is her mouth. And if that happens, we're of all men most miserable. But this is what the world is trying to break, the bands of the Lord, that here is the man and the woman, husband and wife, are the priestly anointing together, and He watches her because, see, Jesus knows that the bride has tremendous power in the mouth. And put on, 1 Peter 3:4 says, women, put on the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Only three things that God calls great price: the blood, the pearl of great price, His people, and a woman's mouth. The beauty. Well, why is it a little humorous though that we feel the woman's mouth does have some humor as far as the men's opinion? It's because that she is a type of the body of the Lord, and she speaks creatively. Hallelujah. You talk about the sin that sends people's mind into a reprobate mind where they don't know good or evil. The Lord says, I'm going to give you over to a reprobate mind where there's no real scruples or thinking in your mind. You that act unseemly with men, with men, and women, with women. Why does God take time to put that in His Word? It goes back to this tremendous authority of the woman speaking the power of God with her lips. The child of God speaking praise and admonition. Because the mouth reproduces life. The anointing, the resurrection of the Lord flows out. The mouth speaks life. The organs of the body, there's only two reproducing factors in man, the mouth and the organ, intimate organ of the body. And when you mix these, God says you're putting reproduction in reverse. Creativity is in reverse. And it will destroy God's image in mankind. That's why He hates homosexuality and lesbianism. It's because He said, I've created my people to enjoy one another so that both the husband that loves and the wife that speaks caressing, they can form together a unity of love that will raise their family to glorify and to magnify God, which they will have all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Hallelujah. The Lord's original intent is for you and I to live abundantly and gracefully in all levels of life. Husbands, love your wives and honor her, 1 Peter 3:7. So that you're joint heirs together of the graces of life, so that your prayers be not hindered. The word honor your wife there, gentlemen, means count her priceless, even when she goes shopping. It's a beautiful thing Well, even in Genesis, the Lord said, let a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife. The word cleave means he'll never stop chasing her. Hallelujah. This is why the Lord says, I'm the high priest. I'm the giver of gifts. As you're faithful over my house, I'll be faithful over yours. So this is brought out by the tremendous example of a man called Melchizedek. And in the fifth chapter of Hebrews, it brings us out. And that's why all the way from Psalms 2 and Genesis 14, the destroyer tries to destroy the homes of mankind down to the present day attack of the soap operas and many other pornography and other magazines that try to tear at the home. And the university is now being used as the main thrust of the devil. It's turned into an educational whorehouse. Whether you like it or not, we better do something about it. Those soap operas also, as your stomach turns. It brings an atmosphere of, thank you, some of you here are with me. An atmosphere of a negative third force that will try to tear at the unity of the home. And that's what the Holy Ghost spoke about, and David put it in Psalms 2. He said, get ready for it. It'll come. But everything, every spiritual negative attack and every spiritual positive weapon culminates in our day. Glory to God, we're in a fine hour. We're seeing the height of all types of hostility, and we're seeing the glory of all types of weaponry. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. What an exciting hour. Amen. This is why the Lord says, I am the high priest. And then the Spirit of the Lord brings this out. There's two things that the kings of the earth, back to Psalms 2, was to break their bands. And the bands means paternal authority, sanctification of marriage, the unity of two, loving each other, male and female. See, Jesus said, each day is unto the Lord 1,000 years. So it was 4 days. Or 4,000 years from Adam to Jesus. And then Jesus said, talking about Herod, he said, go tell that fox that I'm going to work miracles, healings, and so forth are involved. Today and tomorrow, that's the 2,000-year period that you and I are in. Why go tell that fox? Go tell that effeminate one, he used in the Greek. Go tell that one that don't know what gender he is. He'll always be against my miracles. He'll always be against my righteousness. Go tell him, I'm going to work miracles for 2,000 years. And during this time, the fifth and the sixth day, then the third day, which is the millennial time, I will be perfected. Amen? So you and I are in the sixth day. And always when they partook of manna, each day received their portion. But the sixth day received double. That's why you and I receive double the revelation of the Word in our day. Hallelujah. So get ready for the Word of God to be revealed so powerfully, and get ready for all types of, go tell that effeminate one, lesbianism, equal rights among the women. Listen, if anybody ever set women free, it was Jesus, not lesbianism. In our world today, have you ever seen such frantic, raging, such vehement concern? And you'll watch it, and you'll try to listen for some type of explanation, some kind of a simple, what do they want? What are they doing? What are they marching for? What do they want? That ERA movement, I'm still trying to figure out what exactly all the fuss was about. Or you're getting political. Little nothing. Why did the heathen rage? The one that imagines a vain thing and just wants to tear down is the one who always gets the mic. Never the one that's got a defense or to say or to bring out. I'm not talking about ethnic groups now. I'm talking about this diabolical approach of the effeminate one. And the lesbian and the homosexuality.
Jesus said, go tell that effeminate one. I'm going to work miracles in your day. Now, we have a culmination of that warfare. It's on our doorstep. Jesus told us it would happen. And the only combating force is the Word of God. Amen? The only combating force. Stick with the Word and you will be well fortified. Hallelujah. So then, thou art my son, today I've begotten thee. I meant back now to Hebrews 5. As he saith also in another place, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. For in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications, please underline, prayers and supplications, with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Hallelujah. The order of Melchizedek was the supplications, prayers, strong crying, and tears found in the seventh verse. This was the qualifying. This is after the fact. But this is what qualified Jesus to become the captain of our salvation. So we often say, well, there's a lot of mystery around Melchizedek, but there isn't if we'll follow through the pattern here. Jesus was after the order of Melchizedek. Then it explains what the order of Melchizedek was in the life of Jesus. Supplications and prayers, strong crying and tears. That's why God appointed Melchizedek king and priest of Jerusalem. The inference here is that Melchizedek was a man who knew how to intercede before the Lord. He had compassion upon the people. And with praying, supplication, and prayers, God appointed him priest. Now, having a father or mother, like the Levitical tribes, who had to have a heritage from the tribe of Levi to be a priest, a Levitical priest, who was Melchizedek? And most of us agree that it was Jesus. But in the context, the comparison would not be biblically balanced if it had any supernatural type. In other words, it had to be in comparison with the Levitical. He had no father or mother. That would make him the priest like the Levites had. God appointing priest by the way he prayed. Hallelujah. With strong crying and tears. That was the order of Melchizedek. He didn't become priest at 50 or 30 like the Levites did, and then they were retired at 30 to 50. No, Melchizedek was a priest forever. And that's why Jesus was after the order of Melchizedek. Now we have Zacharias in the first coming of the Lord. This man Zacharias, who was a priest in the course of Abijah. Now that's the only illustration or wording in the Bible that we have that describes the course of Abijah, describes what Zacharias did and when his office of priestly purpose and his function as a priest, when he would be active. It was in the fall of the year, in this time of year, around September to October. Zacharias was the priest at that time of year. Because the course of Abijah then describes just about when that course would be in the temple. So that's the biblical information. That's the key that we have to let that lets us know just about when Jesus was born. Because 9 months later, be in the spring of the year, and John the Baptist was 6 months older than Jesus, that means Jesus would be born around this time of year. So remember that, the course of Abiah. Just a little biblical notation. So Zacharias speaks to his son, 8 days old, and he says, "And thou, child, shall be the prophet of the highest." So here we have, from the Levitical priesthood, we have Aaron and Levi making up the priestly tribe. Then we have Levi's wife, who was of the tribe of Judah. Aaron's wife, who was of the tribe of Judah. So now we have the priests and the kingly tribe from Aaron marrying a wife from the tribe of Judah, which Jesus came forth from. That's why you and I are kings and priests, both by the Levitical line and by the Melchizedek line, which is the line of Jesus. Now, John the Baptist grows up, and he is 33 or 34 years of age, and he comes forth in about, no, he's 30 years and a half, a little over. Jesus comes to him, but I'm not worthy to even loose your sandals. But Jesus said, "Suffer it to be so, John, for thus must the scripture be fulfilled." So the baptism of Jesus was put in order, and as they both come into the water, the expectation of the ages begin to crescendo and raise in great anthems of harmony, because every drop of blood that had been received and shed from all the lambs and the tremendous atonement of grace that was stacked up throughout the ages culminated that day, because every high priest that had put their hands exchanging the sin of the people for the righteousness of the Lamb of God that was to come. And when the priests put their hands on the Lamb's head, the sin of the people was transferred. And when John the Baptist put his hands on Jesus, the sin of the world and every sacrifice was vindicated and fulfilled. And Jesus became the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Once John representing... See, John was being led of the Lord. So many of us think because he wore the camel's hair and his diet was restricted that he was not a Levite. John was still of the tribe of Levi. Amen. But now he was a priest and a king and a prophet after the God's appointment, by the prophecy of his own father, who was a Levitical priest. John was still a Levite, but now he was the bridge between the Levitical priesthood and the Melchizedek priesthood. So John the Baptist is the one who released Jesus to the Melchizedek order. He representing the Levite, the Levitical, loosed him, put him under, and the Levitical priesthood was fulfilled. And when he raised him up to be the high priest forever from the tribe of Judah, which means praise, he is our high praise priest. Amen. Amen. So John the Baptist became the bridge from the Levitical priesthood to the Melchizedek priesthood. And that raised Jesus up forever, fulfilling the New Testament type and shadow of what Abraham had done in the Old Testament. Abraham had just come from Genesis 14
from the Battle of Chedorlaomer of getting back his nephew Lot and all the other prisoners. He was met by the King of Peace, Melchizedek, King of Salem, Shalom, and the King of Sodom, Unbalanced Desire. Sodom says, let me have the souls, and I'll give you the material goods. Abraham said, I know your motive. I'll not take a shoelace from you. May God give us such a keen sense of discernment. Praise God that every ounce of support will be untainted by ulterior dominating motives. Jesus gave us the key, and when he said, when he was resurrected, he told his disciples, whosoever sins you remit shall be remitted. The word remit means please remit your water bill. Please remit means pay for. But Jesus said, you're free. I'm going to breathe on you and you shall receive the Holy Ghost. Now then are the children free, Matthew 17. Hallelujah. You're free now. And if anybody tries to make you pay for their ulterior motives or the way that they give and then they want to control your ministry, or someone that's jealous and through jealousy or any type of attack or limitation, they want you to pay for that which they have to limit you. And it could happen in a home where a loved one is filled with the desires of the world and the habits of the world, and yet the whole family has to pay to support their habit or their drunkenness or their sinful ways. I say, get rid of that. Remit it back to Jesus. Put it back on them in Jesus' name, and they'll have to get right with the Lord. You quit paying for the sin and the arrogance and the obstruction of others. Your ministry's free. Your home is free. Hallelujah! We love them, but we give them back to Jesus. Amen. Teach us, Lord, what you meant there. Amen. He says, you don't pay. You don't remit for someone else. I will be the one to pay for it. And no one's going to limit your ministry by their opinions or attitude or any type of support. Oh, my. Well, bless God, I'll take whatever I can get. Well, you better watch it. Just like you better be careful where you give it. When you see the anointing, you be sure you give where the anointing is. Thank God. Hallelujah. The Bible says, give into the storehouse. You know what the word there means in the Hebrew? It means where ammunition is kept and where the weapons of God are given to you by your giving. Oh, God, give me the gifts. Give me the gifts. Quit robbing me. Huh? Oh, but tithing is of the law. I've been set free, so I'm a tightwad now. Instead of a tither. Not a tither, I'm a tightwad. Bless God, I'm free. The Bible says we're to give to the storehouse where ammunition is kept, where the gifts of the Spirit, where the anointing of the Word is, where you can be free. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You're not to support where they deny the gifts of the Holy Ghost, where they don't have time to pray for you, to receive the baptism of the Spirit, or time to see that you're set free in every level of your life. Amen. You support where the ammunition is. Amen. God's anointing will be upon you in a greater blessing than ever before. Hallelujah. So Abraham says, I will not take a shoelace from you, but I'll raise my hand up to El Elyon, the Most High God. And the high arm of Abraham is still supplying for God's people. And in Genesis 15, God came to Abraham and said, you know, I was really, really proud of you. Abraham, I want you to know now, I'm your shield and your exceeding great reward. In other words, the implication is there that what you stood for, I will back it up. Hallelujah. What you stood for.
Ralph Mahoney said one time there's a substantial gift a lady wanted to give him, and he's praying about it, and he's just praying, Lord, I thank you. Praise God, this lady's going to really help us in our missions work and our world map work. And the Lord says, hush, Ralph. You're not going to take nothing from her. Get behind me, you know. He didn't know who it was, you know. Sound like the enemy. Oh, my. He said, I wondered for a moment. Was that the Lord? The Lord told him, she has ruined many ministries by giving to them and then dominating them. And she's not going to ruin you, so you're not going to receive one penny from her. Amen. Amen. Let's praise God for that. Thank you, Jesus. Too many a pastor has been hurt and humiliated by the board members that are good tithers and think they have a say-so to just cut and humiliate and deplore everything. No, not so. We're in a new day. Praise God, we're in a new day. Jesus said, we won't offend them for a while in Matthew 17. Oh, come tomorrow, I think I'll get into that. We're not going to offend them for a while. In other words, he gave us a lot of rope for these last days. Amen. Hallelujah. There is going to be the children of the king, and they're free. So Abraham said, but Melchizedek, I want to pay you my tithes. I don't want the material goods, but I will pay. I will give my tithes to Melchizedek. And that's the effort. The starting of the womb covenant started and begun to take its complete crescendo of eternal value. It's the great debate. It was the clout of reasoning that the Holy Ghost used in Hebrews 5, 6, 7, and 8 to prove that Jesus is our high priest. How did he do it? How does Spirit do it in Hebrews 7? He explains now. He says, because Abraham gave tithes to Melchizedek, it made Melchizedek's order of priesthood the least is blessed of the better. A higher order because Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek. And that lifted up Jesus as the high priest forever. So here you have the Levitical womb, which was Aaron and Levi that were still in the loins of Abraham. You had the Melchizedek order, Melchizedek womb, which is the kings and priests of the living God. And then you have the womb of the morning, which is Jesus. And you and I, when we're born again, we're born into the womb of the morning. And like we were in our mother's womb, we were sustained by the umbilical cord to the tummy, to the innermost being. So we are in the spirit. The umbilical cord of the spirit attaches to our innermost being. That's why Jesus said, out of your innermost being, because he wanted to be scientific and spiritually correct. Amen. That's why he says, out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. So the umbilical cord of the Spirit comes from Revelation 22, verse 1. Where does the rivers of life come from? The throne of God. For out of the throne comes a river, clear as crystal. As that river flows down, but the umbilical cord of the Spirit attaches to your innermost being because you're in the womb of the morning. Psalms 110, verse 3. The womb of the morning. Hallelujah. Verse 3 and 4. Psalms 110 is the third key or catalyst of this tremendous teaching. From the book of Hebrews, the book of Genesis, Psalms 110 produces the threefold cord. Hallelujah. And so you have the Levitical womb, you've got the Melchizedek womb, and you've got the womb of the morning. Hallelujah. Which is Jesus, the high priest, forever. We have such a high priest. And then you have the believer's womb. And the believer's womb is our home, is our family. And the same type and shadow, the same tremendous strength of application comes upon you. The womb covenant means when you tithe, when you give of your offerings, as Abraham tithed to the priest Melchizedek, king and priest of peace, when you and I tithe unto the Lamb of God, our high priest, it lifts up Jesus in his office as high priest, as savior, as baptizer, as healer over our womb. Even though they're saved or unsaved, it doesn't matter. When you give to the Lord, your womb, the womb covenant, is in effect. And your loved ones have a high priest. And Jesus told Peter, Satan's desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. We have such a high priest. That's why as we give unto him, we put the womb covenant into effect. Please don't hold back and restrict your family from one of the greatest spiritual impacts of glory. This is not designed to enhance an offering. This is a spiritual principle, a crescendo of your life. But your family has a high priest because you've obeyed as Jesus obeyed and cried. He became the author of our eternal salvation. Father, we thank you for your word. We appreciate the peace and the glory of thy divine truth. We ask, Lord, that you'll move in every heart, that there will be a heart to give, a heart to respond unto the kingdom of God as people give and are anointed to give where the anointing is. We thank you, Lord, that gifts and abilities of God, but especially our sons and daughters, they have a high priest. We want to put them under the covenant of your praying. We thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Satan desired, is desiring them, so he can sift them. But we have obeyed. We've given unto the kingdom, and we agree with Jesus. They shall be saved. They shall be redeemed. They shall be healed. They shall be set free. Because we have such a high priest that's over our womb. Hallelujah. Because we have given and obeyed the Lord. Whew. Hallelujah. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. I thank you, Father. I praise you for the victory. Thank you that you're our high priest. You're our healer. You set us free. You heal our bodies. You're the womb covenant. You're over our home. You're over our family. Our sons and daughters shall know thy prayers. Hallelujah. We loose prophesying. We loose the gifts of the Lord. We loose the power of God. My home is under the womb covenant. Repeat it. I shall go forth in the power of the word. My giving shall lift up Jesus as the high priest forever, as the intercessor, as my savior, as my baptizer, as my coming king. I loose these offices over my home, over my loved ones, over everyone I meet. I shall speak with new tongues. I shall speak with a fresh anointing. I shall speak with wisdom. I shall prophesy over my family and over the family of the Lord. Therefore, I loose myself this night. I put the word of God into my revelation chamber. It shall become part of me. It is another glory in my heart. that from glory to glory, the Holy Ghost is changing me into the image of my Lord. And we shall be strong. And we will do exploits. I expect a change in my loved ones. I will obey the Lord, which is the greater sacrifice. Amen. Lord, I love you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, I hope it's been worth it to keep you. I didn't realize. Hallelujah. But praise the Lord. We're living in a fast age, aren't we? I love the Word. That's just in the introduction. I couldn't keep on going. Brother Bell said one time he went 3 hours at a colored church and he just got the pulpit at this time. Or a little bit before it. This is our finest hour. Let's take the equipment of God. I know the Holy Ghost is speaking. And many, I know that you're receiving this in your spirit. You might not understand it all with your reasoning, but your creative mind and your creative spirit is knows. And God, the Holy Ghost, is shaping you to come forth with a greater effectivity than ever before. Stand, be dismissed. I understand tomorrow morning we'll just have a great message from the Word. Brother Glenn will be in charge. And then, of course, we hate to say what's going to happen, because usually around here you just hang loose, as the kids say. We're so happy that you've come tonight. The joy of the Lord is here. I want us to stand and sing, "It's Beginning to Rain." Penny, give me the key that I can sing it in. All right. Oh, yes, Lord. Brother Nelson, you just feel free to lead us. Hallelujah. Brother Glenn, come and stand with me. Hear the voice of the Father.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.